Go ahead and open your Bibles with me to the book of John, John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 6. John chapter 17, verse 6. We are continuing on this series here in the month of August and in early September on prayer. And this morning I'd like to talk to you about prayer, why and how. Part one, because this week we're going to focus on the why of prayer. And then next week we will talk about the how of prayer. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 6, reading through verse 19. John writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit these words recording the prayer of Jesus. I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you have given is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I am glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word, your sanctifying truth, the truth that jumps off the page and lands in our souls and drives us to deeper holiness and empowers our battle against sin and our love for righteousness. And Lord, I pray that the effect of this sermon and this series would cause us to have a deeper love for your word and a deeper drive in our hearts to pray and commune with our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, I pray, even as we have seen glimpses of it in our community so far, Lord, I pray that we would truly be a praying church. Lord, make us into a praying, God-dependent, Spirit-empowered people. Lord, use this sermon, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I know about toddlers is that toddlers often ask a bunch of why questions. They love to ask why questions. Mommy, why do cats meow? Well, because that's their way of talking. Well, why don't they sound like us? Well, because their mouths and voices are different from ours. Why? Well, that's just the way it is. Right? But why? Well, because of their DNA. Well, why? Because your DNA is the blueprint of your whole body. Well, why? It's because the DNA molecule forms base pair bonds with four types of building block molecules, allowing for the DNA to make exact copies of itself. Well, why? It's because of Coulomb's law of electrical attraction. Well, I never got that far with my kids. Usually way before that time, I would just say, well, because God made cats that way. When we were answering their why trees. You know, so oftentimes we ask the why questions when we're growing up, but as we grow older, sometimes in our lives we stop asking the why questions. Why do we do what we do? And that's even true about our faith, isn't it? Because there are times even in our faith when we, if you've grown up in the church or if you're even new to the church, sometimes we get to the point where we quit asking the question why in our faith, that motivating question why. I think it's important for us to begin to ask that question more often, and that's what I want to do today, is I want to ask the question, why should we pray? And specifically in this prayer, because of Jesus' outline here, Jesus, remember from last week, Jesus is praying in concentric circles in three parts with three circles, beginning with himself, praying for himself, and then praying for his disciples, and then praying for the world, all believers who would ever believe. And what I want to do is I want to ask the question of why in the middle of this sermon, or in the middle of this prayer, when Jesus is praying for his disciples. And so specifically, why a prayer? But let's take that one step further. Why should we be praying for disciples? Why should we be praying for discipleship? What was Jesus' motivation for praying for his disciples? We'll answer the why question this week, and then next week we will turn our attention over to the how question. So how in general should we pray, and specifically, how should we be praying for discipleship in our church? So what I want to ask today is this question: why is Jesus praying, and why should we pray? Why is Jesus praying, and why should we pray? Why should we pray for discipleship in our lives and in our church? In verses 6 through 19, we hear Jesus praying for his disciples. Jesus is praying for his disciples, and in his prayer, we see the depths of his love for him, and we hear and see the riches of Christ's heart for his people. We get a glimpse into what Jesus might be praying for us even now. Do you know what Jesus is doing for us as believers right even now as you listen to this sermon? What Jesus is doing for you is he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ascended into heaven, and he is praying for you right now. The book of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says it like this: consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. But why is Jesus praying for his disciples? Why does Jesus pray for these apprentices of himself? And I use that word apprentices, and I think it's a good word. I think it's a word that describes our relationship with Jesus, that we join ourselves to Christ to learn more about him and to reflect who he is and what he does, his character, his words, his life to the world as we just spend time with him and walk with him. We are apprentices of our Christ. But why is Jesus praying for his disciples? In verses 6 through 10, I see six reasons why Jesus is praying for his disciples. And in those six reasons, I also see six answers to the question of why. Why should we pray? And specifically, why should we pray for discipleship in our church? The passing of the faith on from one generation to another, from one disciple to another, from one apprentice of Jesus, making other apprentices of Jesus, not of themselves, but inviting them to come along beside them and saying, let's apprentice ourselves to the King so that we grow to be more like him, and I'll help you out. I'm just about a step ahead of you. And so why do we pray for disciples? Number one reason why we pray for disciples is this: pray because disciples are the Father's gift to Jesus. Pray because disciples are the Father's gift to Jesus. Look at verse 6. He says there, Jesus is praying to his Father, I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. and they have kept your word. One of the reasons why Jesus prays for his disciples and one of the reasons why his apprentices are so precious to him is because every disciple, every apprentice of Jesus is the gift of the Father to Jesus for his life, death, and resurrection. He won them, but at the same time, they are a gift from the Father to Jesus. And the preciousness of the gift is related to the gift itself, but it is also related to who gave that gift to him. You can see this in my office here, my study here at the church. There are things around my study that wouldn't mean anything to anybody in the world. In fact, they would look at them and say, "Why does he have this on his shelf? This is so odd. Why do you have a mouse pad on your shelf?" Well, the reason I have a mouse pad on my shelf is not just because I like to have an extra one sitting around. The reason why I have a mouse pad sitting on my shelf is because what the mouse pad says and whose picture's on it. That particular mouse pad my children gave to me years ago, and it says, "We love you, Daddy," and it has their picture in the lower right-hand corner. The preciousness of the gift is, yes, the gift in itself, but even beyond that, it's because of the preciousness of the one that who gave me that gift. And so disciples, apprentices of Jesus, are gifts of the Father to Jesus Christ. Every disciple of Jesus Christ, who is every person who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, is a gift of the Father to Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? That the reality, if you are a Christian, the reality that you have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, the reality that you are an apprentice of Jesus shows you, and the Bible reveals to you, that you are a gift of the Father to Jesus. Incredible. And when God calls us to disciple someone else, it is a gift of the Father to us. When the Father calls us to disciple someone else or apprentice with somebody else in our lives, to come alongside someone and walk together this walk of faith, this long walk of fellowship and friendship of faith, that is a gift of the Father to us. And so we pray for that in our lives. Now, our first discipleship priority and the first gift that God gives so many of us here in our church, and all of us, because we're part of this family of God, is our children. Did you know that your children are a gift of God to you from the Father, giving them to you, giving them to our church for the sake of discipleship and leading them to be apprentices of Jesus? One of the reasons we pray is because these disciples God has given us, these children He has given us, are the gift of the Father to, that we are to, by the way we live our lives and by the way we raise them to honor Christ, is we raise them to live for Jesus and be disciples of Him. Psalm 127 verse 3 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." And so we pray for our children as they are a precious gift of God, the Father, to us and to Jesus Christ. And so we take this responsibility seriously. I want to encourage you in this fall semester, this fall season, we're going to give you several opportunities to be discipling your teenagers and discipling your children. One of the ways you can do this is through Awana. There's an announcement on the Awana webpage or on Awana Facebook page. There'll be more information coming. It's going to look different, at least for a season, at least for a while, until we can get back together in the building. But let me encourage you, if you are involved in Awana, re-engage in that. Connect with that. Let me encourage you also, as a church at large, one of the things that we're going to be doing this fall is we're going to be producing a family worship guide. Now, this isn't just for the families in our church. This is for all of the church. So whether you're an empty nester or whether you're single or whether you have a family, this is for you. And this is a way for you to be able to connect with other people, to connect with your family or connect with other believers around the sermon every single week. We're going to have suggestions for how you can have conversations with your family or different things that you can do with other believers that can help you build deeper relationships with each other in smaller groups, yes, because of the situation we're in. But maybe God's teaching us something. then maybe we need to grow deeper in our fellowship and our relationships with each other. Why? Because disciples are a gift of the Father to Jesus. And these discipleship, these apprenticing relationships that we enter in, those are gifts of the Father to our Savior. And not only that, we also pray, not only in our families, we see our first priority is our children and apprenticing with our children to follow Jesus, but our priority as well is praying that God would give each of us a man or a woman to come alongside them who's a step or two behind us in the faith and be able to pour our faith into them as we walk together towards Christ, apprenticing with him, walking this road of discipleship with Jesus. So first reason why we need to pray is because disciples, we pray for discipleship because disciples are gifts of the Father to Jesus and to us as well. Secondly, second answer to the question why is this, pray because disciples are the ones to whom Jesus reveals the Father's name. Pray because disciples are the one to whom Jesus reveals the Father's name. Look at verse 6 again. He says, I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. Right there we see Jesus is manifesting, is revealing the Father's name to the world. Now, in Hebrew culture, we must remember what a name is all about. Names mean a lot in that culture. They're often given to describe what parents hoped for their children, or to describe certain circumstances around a child's birth. Sometimes God would even change somebody's name based upon his plans for that individual's life. If you remember Abram, his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, from exalted father to the father of many nations, the father of many. And so when Jesus manifests or reveals his name, reveals the name of the Father to the disciples, what Jesus is doing is he is narrating God to them. He is showing us through his life, through his actions, through his talk, through his speech, through his words, what God is like. Through all that Jesus is, all that we see revealed to us in Scripture, in the Gospel, all that Jesus is to us as we apprentice ourselves to him, as we come into a relationship with him, everything that we see about Jesus perfectly reveals and reflects the Father and the name of the Father and the character of the Father to us. So therefore, because of that reality, he prays for his disciples, because he has been demonstrating for the past 3 years what God is like. He's returning to the Father. He is praying for them so that they clearly see the Father's character, that they clearly understand God, that they clearly know God through their relationship with Jesus, and that they would clearly reflect the character of Jesus to the world, to other disciples, to other future apprentices of Jesus. And isn't that our heart's desire? One of the reasons why we pray is because Jesus reflects the Father's name to us. Jesus reveals the Father's name to us. And through us, we are called, through our life, through our actions, through our words, to accurately reveal the nature, the character, the love of God to the world. Why do we pray? It's because without the help of the Spirit of the living God, I can't do it. And without the help of the Spirit of the living God, you can't do it in your life, in your family, in your home, in your marriage, in your world. And so since we are to be revealing or manifesting the name of Jesus to each other, the character of God to each other, the way we live would point people to God, we need the Spirit's help. And so we pray toward those ends. Number three, why do we pray for disciples? Number three, pray because the Spirit must draw people to respond to the gospel. Pray because the Spirit must draw people to respond to the gospel. Jesus is not one-sided in the way that he understands salvation. He knows salvation in all of its full-orbed beauty, its full-orbed picture. He understands that if it were not for sovereign election, that God gave the disciples to the Son, that no one would believe. If God had not given the disciples to the Son, opened up their eyes to the gospel, no one would have believed. But at the same time, Jesus holds up sovereign election. Jesus also holds up human responsibility. Both of those realities are true. The disciples had to respond to the divine revelation. It was imperative that they respond to the gospel. That is the call of the gospel, is yes, disciples are a gift of the Father to Jesus, but at the same time, you are called to make an action of your will, to decide today to follow Christ, to follow him. And the only way that that occurs is that the Spirit draws people to himself. I love what Spurgeon once said about this reality. He said that these two things, God's sovereignty and human responsibility, how do you reconcile those two realities? How do you bring them together? He said that these two things are like two rails on a railroad track. The Bible truth runs on them both. And to not have one of those rails, God's sovereign election and human responsibility, the train of the gospel is not going to run. And isn't that true throughout the Bible? Yes, I understand there's a tremendous mystery there. But I have come over the years to become really comfortable with a lot of mystery when it comes to salvation, when it comes to God. Because if I could explain everything about God, he wouldn't be God. There ought to be a sense of awesome wonder and mystery and otherness when it comes to our God. We should pray for other apprentices and disciples of Jesus. We pray because it is through prayer that God empowers them to receive the word, because nobody believes that that's the Spirit of God working on them. We pray, God, would you open up hearts to believe in the word? Would you open up hearts to receive the message? In fact, from Jesus' prayer here, there will not be receiving, believing, and keeping without prayer. The means God uses for receiving, believing, and keeping, the way God opens up those doors in our lives and in our world and through our discipleship and through our walk with Jesus, the way he helps others to receive, the way he helps others believe, the way he helps others keep, is through the Spirit of God working among people. And because of that reality, because I can't talk good enough and I can't be convincing enough to talk somebody into faith, and neither can you, we are called to open our mouths, we're called to share the gospel, but ultimately we're dependent on the Spirit of God. And because of that reality, we pray. We pray for receiving, believing, and keeping. You know, what does it mean to receive the word? When I think of the word receiver, I think of something I hope to see this fall. I don't know if we're going to see it or not, but I hope to see it. And I think many of y'all do too. I hope to see a little bit of this going on this fall. And it looks like the Big 12 is still in, but we'll see. I don't know. If you called that football, SEC fans. Yeah, right. We'll see. Tyler's up there laughing at me right now. Go LSU, right? But you know, what does it mean to receive a pass? If you're a wide receiver in football, and if you were to receive a pass and you were to hold it out like this, what's going to happen? Well, if you hold it out like this and run down the field, like sometimes you see him do, there's a defender who's just as fast as you are, who is coming running right at you, and before you hit the goal line, he's going to slap that out of your hand, and it's going to fall to the ground. That's why when it comes to a receiver, anybody holding the ball is running the ball, what they're taught to do is tuck it in, receive it, but receive it all the way into here, or all the way into here, either hand, receive it all the way into here. Don't hold it out here. Don't hold it as if it's not something precious to you, but hold it as if your life depends on you holding onto this ball and you get into the end zone. And that's what it means to receive this message. When you receive it, so many people treat their Christianity or their relationship with Jesus or their apprenticeship with Jesus just like, oh, whatever. Yeah, it's okay. And COVID-19 comes along and kicks it out of your hand and just knocks it away from you. And rather than holding it out there, God calls us to receive the gospel to be the most precious thing in our hearts and lives. And so I ask you, where is your relationship with Jesus? Is it out here in the periphery of your life, to where the devil, to where the world, to where COVID, to where whatever in the world, the politician or whatever the election result is this fall, who knows? But to where whatever goes on in your life continually slaps that out, slaps your joy out of your hand, slaps your delight in Jesus out of your hand, slaps your life out of your hand. Or have you received faith all the way into the core of your being, the most important thing about you? That's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus has said, they have received them. They have received your word all the way in to their souls. Not only are we to receive the word, but the Bible calls us to believe the word. We are called to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is belief? Belief is a simple trust. It's simple faith. It's resting on the reality that this gospel message, this story of Jesus, is true. And it's not just true in history, but it's true in your life. It is your story. He is your Christ. He is your Savior. He is your everything. It's believing that not just it's some book, but it's reality in your life. Believing, having faith, faithing that it is true. And they also keep the word, not only receiving, not only believing, but also keeping the word. What is keeping the word? Keeping the word means you continue to believe, that you continue to receive, you continue to grow in Christ in your life. You keep learning, you keep following Jesus more and more and more every day. Keeping the word doesn't mean that the disciples were perfect. None of them were. Just read the scripture. None of them were perfect. But what it meant was when they kept going in the word, when they kept keeping on in the word, they persevered to the end. Keeping the word means not giving up in our Christian life. And did you know that receiving, believing, and keeping, all of these three realities are all empowered by the Spirit? The only way you can really receive, the only way you can really believe, the only way you can really keep is by the power of the Spirit. Can you see why you need to be praying? The answer to why is because you can't live the Christian life on your own. You need the Spirit of the living God working in your life. Number three, the only way that people are drawn to Christ and are responding to the gospel is through the Spirit. That's why we pray. Number four, fourth reason why we need to pray is this: pray because disciples are the joint possession of the Father and Son. Pray because the disciples are the joint possession of the Father and Son. Jesus says the disciples are the Father's. He has given them to the Son. Did you know that if you have trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, that you no longer belong to yourself? You belong to Jesus. You belong to the Father. You never really did belong to yourself in the first place. That's a whole mirage that the devil tries to convince us of. Because really, the Bible reveals to us that when we are in our sin, when we're separated from Christ, we are slaves to sin. We're slaves to the devil. And what Jesus does in our lives through faith in Him, through faith in the reality of His perfect life, His death, His resurrection, and ascension to heaven, when we believe those realities, He sets us free from bondage to the devil, from bondage to sin, and He sets us free for a relationship with Him. And now we are owned by a benevolent, loving, caring, joyful, kind King and God. The reality as believers is we no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to Christ and our Father. You know, this applies to us as parents, doesn't it? Because as moms and dads, our first discipleship priority, our first apprentices, don't really belong to us, do they? You know, many of you are finding that out now, or are going to be finding that out soon, or have already found that out, that someday this arrow that God has given you, you're going to have to load it into your arrow. You're going to have to load that arrow into your bow. You're going to have to pull that bow back and you're going to have to let go. And someday that arrow is going to leave the house. And as apprentices of Jesus, we recognize that our children are not our own, but they truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They truly belong to the Father. And we pray every day for them that they would continue to live on the straight and narrow, trusting in Him daily as Savior and King. They don't really belong to us. They belong to Jesus. And when they are in our homes, we recognize that appropriately, that we are just stewarding their faith for a short time while they're under our roof, praying that they would stay on that straight and narrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says it like this: "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." We are praying, people, because we are, as disciples, are the joint possession of the Father and the Son. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. Number five, we pray because disciples display the infinite worth of Jesus to the world. The disciples, Jesus say, are the ones who God has, the Father has given them to Jesus so that they would bring glory to Jesus. That means that the way that they live, the way that we speak, the way that we act, the way that we love is all meant to display the perfections of the character of our Christ to the world. Do you remember the mirror illustration from last week where our lives are mirrors? God is shining down on us and we are meant to reflect the character of God to the world. I want to remind you one of the whys of prayer. One of the whys of prayer is because we are to display the infinite worth of Jesus to the world. Sometimes our mirrors are out of alignment. And why do we pray? We pray because we got to realign the mirror. And one of the ways that God realigns the mirror in our lives is through prayer. So that by having fellowship with Him, by relating to Him, by knowing Him through His Word and through prayer and fellowship with other believers, we more accurately reflect Christ to the world. We pray because we are called by Jesus to reflect His glory to the world. And the only way that we will reflect it accurately is by the Spirit of God reorienting our mirror to reflect His character more perfectly to the world. Finally, number six, why should we pray? We pray because disciples will fulfill Christ's mission in the world. Look at verse 11. There in verse 11, He says, "I am no longer in the world." Jesus is ascended into heaven after His death and resurrection. "But they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." We'll talk more about that oneness and unity that we are to have in Christ next week. But the point I want to make here on this, the reason why we pray for disciples, is because disciples are God's plan for the salvation of the world. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, yes, I know Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. But how does that message of salvation get to the world? The way God has seen fit that the gospel would get to the ends of the earth would be one disciple making another disciple, one apprentice making another apprentice of Jesus, making another apprentice of Jesus, on down through the generations, all down through the ages, all across the continents, all across America, all the way to you. And then from you to be spreading on to the next generation and the next generation and beyond, all the way around the world until that last person hears, that last people group responds, and boom, then the end will come. Then Christ will come. And we long for that day. And because of that reality, we know that the means of the salvation of the world, the way that God uses to save the world, is the gospel preached and through making disciples. Because of that reality, we pray. We pray for ourselves, God, make me passionate about the people in the Tri-Cities that don't know Christ. The 88%+ of the people right in our own town, right in our community, that don't know Christ. And COVID hasn't changed any of that. They need to know Jesus, and so how do we reach them in this situation? How do we reach this area with the gospel? God, give us creativity, because we know that by even the experience in the South, that even if we were to open the doors wide in the building, they're not going to rush in here. We must go to them. We must go out to them and seek to make disciples of the lost, sharing with them the gospel of our Christ, evangelizing the lost so that they become apprentices of Jesus. We make sure that in our church that this is a place where people can come and grow in Christ, to have a deep fellowship and a deep relationship with another believer that will come alongside them and say, hey, let's learn more of Jesus together. Let's better reflect him in our lives so that we're not just holding our mirror and trying to get it reflecting right on our own, but we got somebody else saying a little bit more up, a little bit more that way, angle it a little more this way. And that's discipleship. It's helping each other to angle our lives better to reflect Jesus to the world. And we're concerned about the world too, where we realize that the majority of the world is lost. There are still people groups in the world that do not know the name of Christ. And because of that reality, we make it our prayer, we make it our aim, we make it our passion for his mission of making disciples among all people groups of the world. Why do we pray? We pray because it is disciples who will fulfill Christ's mission in the world. I want to close today by reminding you of our challenge to be praying. Today we have talked about some of the whys of prayer. Next time we'll talk about the hows of prayer. But let me encourage you, if you haven't jumped on board already, let me encourage you to jump on to our 5:22 challenge. At 5:22 a.m. or 5:22 p.m., I want you to set an alarm for every single day. Some of you know that AM exists. Some of you would rather do PM. That's fine. But whatever works for you, you set your alarm on your phone or on your watch or whatever. Alarm clock. And you be praying at 5:22. Why 5:22? It's because we just finished a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And you pray, God, work into my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why? Because the world needs to see those attributes lived out in ourselves, in our church, in our community, in our world. Why? It's because those are the attributes of an apprentice of Jesus, a disciple of our Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's be people who are praying to that end. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave us to guess about the why of prayer. Why are you praying for discipleship? These incredible truths that we get to participate in, that it is only by the Spirit of God that people's hearts are open to believe in the gospel. And so we pray, Spirit, work in the hearts and minds of those who are watching who are not yet believers. I pray that they would believe, not because I'm super convincing, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives and the power of the gospel. Lord, I pray and we thank you that every disciple is a gift from the Father to the Savior. Lord, we thank you that we are called to display the infinite worth of Jesus to the world. We thank you that you've called us on mission to this world. And Lord, I pray that each of us would be a praying disciple, a praying apprentice of Jesus. Bless our parents as they seek to make apprentices of the next generation of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for all of us. Lord, help us to be passionate about you, receiving you all the way into the deepest reaches of our souls, knowing that the enemy of our souls is coming up behind us, ready to swat our faith out of our hands. And Lord, I pray for each one who is watching, that you would bless them and keep them. May you make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace all the days of their lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless. Thank you so much for watching. Let me encourage you to reach out to us, either by our prayer line at 509-215-1839. Send the word hello to that number. Text the word hello to that number. We'll reach out to you. Or if you want to go to our website, richlandbaptistchurch.org, click on We're Here For You, and we'll follow up with you with any decision or any prayer request that you have. God bless. You all have a great week.